This Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up is a celebration of all their best bits from today's show. The Weekly Review is celebrating the best of Melbourne. It's people, places, properties and all the things that make this truly the world's most livable city. Check out this week's issue or head to theweeklyreview.com.au.
Chappelle Corby is on her way home Saturday, May 27. She touches down back in Australia.
Is she?
Yeah.
Get some duty-free vodka for me, Shaz.
She went for a long trip.
Well, Max Markson, you know, celebrity manager, you may recall him from Celebrity Apprentice. Max Markson has come out and said that he believes, he's a manager.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I thought you'd know.
Yeah. Behave yourself.
Anyway, he has said that Chappelle Corby will make hundreds of thousands of dollars within weeks of her return to Australia. It's interesting when he said this because I thought about it and I went, he's not wrong. Like, think about this. So he's saying that she will get appearance fees to turn up to places. And I think obviously we're all savvy enough to know this now. When there's a big event like the races or there's a big event in town, people are prepared to pay celebrities to attend. And Chappelle is somebody that would probably be getting money thrown at her, i.e. imagine reality TV shows. She could end up in the jungle, get paid at easily a six-figure figure to go in to the I'm a Celebrity jungle.
D-grade celebrities that no one gives a crap about. She'll be in that.
Imagine if they said you can go on Survivor Cooter. Do you want to go in that? Where you're on an island.
Been there, done that.
It's a bit weird though because the world will be her oyster in some respect because she's so wanted and people want the exclusive. Now, we know that there is that the law that you can't make money from the proceeds of crime law. So she can't sell her story and get money from it.
Right.
But now there's a way that criminals that have been released from jail can in fact make money. And it's interesting if you look at what's happening with Cassie Sainsbury over in Bogota.
Yeah.
Now, if this is true, that report that her mum has been paid $1 million by Channel 7.
Really?
And now her boyfriend is being paid, they're saying, by one of the other current affair shows.
Is this Chappelle's or
no,
Cassie's?
I just took us over to Bogota.
Right.
Cassie Sainsbury. So Cassie Sainsbury, it's a controversial deal with 60 Minutes, and they're saying it's estimated $1 million.
Wow.
Now, this is big money. And I think what we should remember at the heart of this are alleged crimes. But this is we now live in this world of celebrity where it doesn't a notoriety and being infamous is as powerful as just being famous. So how often do we see, you know, even if you look at a decade ago when Underbelly and everything started and, you know, there was a bit of a cachet around criminals and then you would see them turn up, and I'm not going to name names, but you'd see them at celebrity poker nights or events. Well, I didn't say anything.
Well, he's my mate, I can say that.
So I just find it's an interesting world we're living in when you think that Chappelle, after everything she's gone through and is a convicted felon, with whatever you choose to believe about her innocence or not, and now the suggestion that she could just make hundreds of thousand dollars within a week, you ask yourself, was it worth going to jail?
Well, that's a very good question. Even for Chappelle, you'd reckon the offer of, hey, if you turn up to this joint, you can make a lot of money, got her in trouble in the first place.
Sure.
Maybe you wouldn't do it on return.
Cassie Sainsbury, if there's $1 million in her mum's bank account, and she's doing 4 years, if that's the minimum she gets, that's a lot. She's made a lot of money.
That's an amazing hypothetical, though.
$250 a year.
The idea of doing time for money. And the fact that you've even asked the question and that it's not a crazy question. You know, how bad is it in these jails? Is it almost worth it?
Well, I wonder if you were a drug mule, you were being, you know, obviously seduced by that lifestyle.
Sure.
And the guy says to you, okay, you go and carry that money. Worst case scenario, you get 4 years in jail. But you'll end up with millions of dollars
from media.
Yeah,
but that's where Chappelle went wrong. She went to Bali, where it's the prison sentence is a lot more.
So it's about the country.
Well, Cassie's nailed it. She's only getting 4.
So you've got to find a country that drug muling only gets you 3 months.
Well,
and you can make
she's going to make the same amount of money as Chappelle, but Chappelle had to go to jail for nearly 20 years.
If that is true, if it is $1 million, and then her boyfriend's got whoever knows how much from Sunday night, and that all goes into a bank account, and they're all prepared to give Cassie the main share of that, she will come out of this better off than had she just tried to continue with her gym business.
That's amazing.
In Adelaide.
Yeah, 100%. Amazing. Actually, I'll throw the question at you. You don't even have to answer right now.
Mm.
But you're a person off profile.
Mm.
You get into this situation. You're not even getting $1 million now. You are going skyrocketing. Like, to get Fifi Box's story as you carted that across, you're only in jail for 4 years.
Two? If you dropped it to two?
2 years? And you get $1 million a year. You get $2 million
for
2 years in jail.
I would do 4 years. No, rather 2 years.
No, obviously joking. We'd never consider it.
Well, there we go. 13, 10, 60.
Guys, she's writing a diagram.
It's quite the hypothetical. Think about it. Would you do time for money? 13, 10, 60. We'll turn this around. Well, we'll come back to it on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about an interesting area. We've got a lot of high-profile cases at the moment that are in the news. You've got Chappelle Corby heading back to Australia, and there's already some celebrity agents saying that she could, in the first few weeks of being back here, make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, she can't make a profit from her crime, so she can't sell her story, but she can do appearances, she could turn up on reality television shows, and she can be paid six-figure figures. I mean, she could make, through appearances and television appearances alone, like $1 million in a year. Cassie Sainsbury, it's alleged that her family have had $1 million paid to them by 60 Minutes. And then we were talking about this because it's an interesting one. You would have people that are struggling for money. So already they're struggling. So they've turned to being...
the life of crime.
I'm not talking about these two individuals, by the way. I don't want to be sued. But if you're turning to a life of crime because you're struggling for money, so you think, oh, I'll be a drug mule. And then you look at examples of these two women who are being paid lots of money for the notoriety. You'd start to go, well, maybe if in a country like Colombia, it's 4 years, but I get $1 million and I'm set for life. I don't know. It's just an interesting one. Would you be prepared to do the time?
Is it interesting to serve time in a Colombian prison? It would be hell on earth, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she looks like she's having a good time. She's waving $1 million,
mate. Property prices going through the roof. Well, like you've got 4 years accommodation, plus you come back.
I think no rent.
The fact that the question wasn't laughed out of the room, the fact that it's actually a question that we're not laughing at is pretty alarming.
Well, it is alarming that people are making this much money from having spent time in jail. Now, Aaron in South Yarra. Hi, Aaron.
How are you going?
We're good, Aaron. Look, we're just having a fun hypothetical here. What do you think? Would you be prepared to do a tiny bit of time if you could set yourself up for life with millions of dollars?
No, I never. You can always make money, but you can never, ever get your time back.
That's true. But, Aaron, what if you were hating life? What if you hated your job? You were just in a rut?
Aaron lives in South Yarra. He's fine for a coin. Wrong suburb.
doing pretty well for myself at the moment. But I can understand why people had turned to it. But, hey, there's always options out there if you're willing to look.
It's just interesting because I think when organisations like these television current affairs shows or magazines or whatever offer this kind of money, it's like once upon a time there was a stigma attached to criminal behaviour that made
you go
into... Well, yeah, I know, Byron, but there's also... It's glamorised. I'm sorry, but I am telling you, if you're getting $1 million for an exclusive rights to your story... That is glamorising a crime.
Oh, for sure.
Or an alleged crime.
It's just hilarious that Aaron's called and he's saying, no, you don't have to commit crimes, and he's in the minority. Everyone's like, yeah, what a weird call.
Yeah, but
he's a weirdo.
As has gone to Scotch, and he's probably a lawyer or a doctor. He's not...
Yeah, he's like, you're selling investment property, guys. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Matt in Lang Warren. Hi, Matt.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, Matt. Joining our healthy hypothetical in the studio. What do you think?
Oh, bloody oath I would.
See? Lang Warren.
So... Yeah. Matt, it does seem a bit rich though, doesn't it? You're struggling, you haven't turned to crime, and we're obviously not advocating that. But
now, the reason I would is because the justice system around the world is screwed, and you get away with it and you get money. I've had my van robbed, $18,000 worth of tools, and the guys get away with it.
Yeah.
So why not?
That's annoying, Matt.
Although
two wrongs don't make it right though, Matt.
No, they don't. That's correct, yes, but...
Well, we have to hope, Matt, in the long run, the good guys win. That's what you hope.
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for,
the majority.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you.
But what would be great is if the media didn't pay ridiculous sums of money to people that are, even if they're being accused of a crime or their families aren't being paid millions of dollars.
Shouldn't be able to.
You shouldn't be a convicted criminal to come back in the country and then be offered six figures to just turn up to a race day. It's like, what's wrong with this country?
Have the time of her life for 4 years and then comes out and it's all like nothing happened.
Time of her life.
Well, I'm going to have to stop you there. I don't think a prison in Bogota is the time of your life. If I went in there, I'm not surviving. I'm too pretty for that.
Brutal. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I think it's one of the hardest things for a parent to see their children either being rejected or left out or alienated at school with no friends. And we got talking about this yesterday and we received a phone call about a little boy who had no friends turn up to his birthday party last week.
There's something about when you see kids that are hurting. How hard is it when your kid is not necessarily bonding and maybe not being invited to parties and being left out?
Got Bev from Melton on the line. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Fee. How you going?
Talk us through what your experience is with your son.
I have a six-year-old son. His name's Logan. He has spina bifida. He goes to a mainstream school, but we have had birthday parties where we've invited classes and kinders and no one's come along. So, you know, it absolutely kills me, Fee.
I was actually thinking this before, and I think, Bev, particularly after hearing what you've just said, I would love to do, and I think we should do this. I think we should put on a big party. Let's put on a party for kids that do get left out. We'd love to put on a birthday party for Logan, all kids out there who have been left out for whatever reason, don't have any friends, whose mums go through what you go through, Bev, which is that horrible, the terror of sending your child off into the world and thinking there's no one out there for them.
Oh my gosh, Logan, I'm so grateful, but Logan will be, for him just to be happy, see him smiling with other kids his age, to just be, you guys are amazing, you don't have to do this.
No, Bev, we want to. Kids should not be being left out of things. They should be being acknowledged. They need to have friends. And you know what? We're going to put on a party so they've got friends.
And from that point, the response, rightly so, has been absolutely amazing from everyone, guys.
Yeah, and all day yesterday I had people contacting me on Twitter and Instagram. This is happening everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
The response is unbelievable. So it's amazing that you brought this up and then you just went bang straight away and said that to Bev, because this is going to be incredible.
It is. So Logan, we're putting on his birthday party. He's turning seven very soon. It's going to be Logan's seventh birthday party. And even though we're celebrating Logan's party because he had nobody turn up at his birthday last year, 131060, we want to hear from other parents who are going through this. And maybe their kids having a really tough time. And maybe they've, I mean, I don't think you could imagine what it would be like to have a party for your child and sit there and have no one turn up. But if this has happened to you, 131060, we want your kids at our party for Logan.
And I'm rat because I was the party planner, but now Fief has taken over that role.
No.
And I'm no longer the party planner.
No, quite. We're joints.
No.
We're joined as a hip.
It's Box Enterprise. No,
no, there'll be a role for you, Fief. Over. No. Mark my words, there'll be a role for you.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We received a heartbreaking call yesterday from Bev, who was ringing us about her little boy Logan, who is struggling at school and doesn't have many friends. And in fact, last year for his birthday party, no one turned up. And I think any parent, if they imagine that happening, how? Because it's something you can't control, and the pain you have for your little child, and you just want them to make friends. And so we are now putting on a seventh birthday party for Logan. We're going to make sure that this birthday party blows his mind, and we're inviting along other kids that are struggling at school and don't have friends. And maybe other parents like Bev right now are listening and they're thinking, oh, I remember that moment and I've blocked it out when my son or daughter got rejected and nobody turned up to their house to play. We want you to bring your kids along too.
This is such a good initiative, because I even know, like, I'm a fully fledged adult and I still think, is anyone going to come to my party? Like,
yeah,
you still get worried about it. And I can only see, you guys have all got kids older than me, but like, Freddie's only 7.5 months old. And like, I look at her now just going, you're so out of control with as a parent. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't control your child or what happens to them. So you're constantly just standing by going, I hope it's all going to be okay. And she's only 7 months old. Well, I can only imagine that gets larger and there's more on it as it goes along.
Well, it does, Dave. And I had my birthday earlier this year at a Half Moon. And I said it was 1 o'clock. Everyone get there. Or 12:30 maybe. I got there at 12:20. No one turned up. To 1:10, I was sitting there having a beer by myself. I'm thinking, oh, no one's coming. I literally panicked. No one was going to come. And Alex is like, you're such a dork. Why'd you get there so early? It's because I want to be there when everyone rocks up. Dave went. Byron didn't go. Boxy didn't go.
And I'm like, I got the invite the day before.
Yeah, the day before. But you had something on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But old mate went for a cashy.
I did have a corporate.
Stitch me up. But I had that feeling in my heart. I'm like, oh my God, no one's going to come.
Come on.
And I'm 36.
Steph's got mates.
I think for a parent, a child that is, and when you look at it, a primary school child who's not bonding or making friends and they're being rejected and they've got no friends, I can't even, and I get scared about that happening for my daughter. I think it's a pain that we need to acknowledge, and we're a community, you know. No kid should be alone, and we are taking that responsibility on ourselves. This show, we're putting this party on for children who haven't been, had kids at their parties or have been neglected or rejected. And we've got Mick on the line. Hi, Mick.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, we're okay, Mick. We're talking about a really tough topic, to be honest, because I think we're bringing a lot of pain to the surface for a lot of parents who've gone through this. Well, what's your situation, Mick?
Yeah, this day and age, you wouldn't think this sort of stuff still happens, you know, but unfortunately it does. But yeah, I've got a 7-year-old autistic boy who, was a kid, and he got left out a lot. For instance, one day my fiancée was dropping off at school, and all the parents were handing out a birthday invitation, and the whole class, he's the only one that didn't get one.
Oh,
and
well,
he was pretty oblivious to it, but as a parent, it's heartbreaking to hear that sort of stuff, you know?
Of course, Mick, and where is the parent? I mean, who's the parent of that child who left off your beautiful little boy?
Very disrespectful on their behalf to do it in front of him as well, you know, so... But yeah, he's heartbreaking, but yeah, he's still at a special school now, but yeah, he's sort of coming good, but his best friend's his 12-year-old brother, you know, so...
And Mick, I think you've raised another interesting point that I think that we as a community, and I hope everybody listening thinks about this, that we need to embrace differences. And there are children with different, for instance, your son's autistic, and I think kids don't necessarily understand autism, but that's the responsibility on us as parents. True. We need to get our children to accept and welcome and, appreciate the differences in other kids. And I think that is despicable that your son was the only child left out of that party at camp.
And I know at my little girl's school that they make a rule. If you're going to have a birthday party, you're not to give the invitations out to the kids. You've got to give them to the parents.
Right.
So the kids, that if they do get left out, they don't know. So it's, you don't put them in people's bag. Because you know when you get something in your bag, you're like, I got this, and you tell the other kids. You have to give, it's disallowed to give that. You have to give the actual parents a thing out so kids that miss out don't know.
And just a quick one, Mick. You reckon Crew would like to come to the party, mate?
Oh, 100%. He's over the moon.
Oh, well, we'd love to see Crew. You tell Crew that he's coming to this great birthday party for Logan and he's going to have lots of friends there, okay?
Thanks heaps, guys. You're doing a great job. I also appreciate that.
Oh, great, Mick. Will you let Crew know? We'd love to have him there.
Yeah, hold the line.
And now we've got Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, we're okay, Amanda. We're hearing some tough stories and I'm guessing that you're living through something that's no fun at all.
Look, something very similar. I heard the story yesterday and it broke my heart. Because you can relate. I have a little boy and he's 7 and he's absolutely delightful, the love of my life. But he does struggle at school. He'll come home and sort of tell you that kids told him not to play with him today. Or he'll come home and tell you, that one of his little friends had a party and he didn't get to come along. So, it is tough.
No, it is tough, Amanda. And I think that as parents... And you touched on this before, Dave, it's that feeling of you've got no control. You can't make other kids play with your child.
Yeah.
You can't make other parents be more mindful and aware. And you have to somehow show them strength and say, obviously you shower him with love and you tell him you love him and that, the life does get better, because that's another message we do keep hearing, is that it does. One day you're out of school and hopefully this is all behind you. But Amanda, we hate that your little son is going through that or in any way feels that. And we would love, what's his name?
His name is Henry.
We would love Henry to come to Logan's birthday party. Would he be interested in that, do you think?
I think I could twist his arm.
You tell him it's a special personalised invitation from Fev, Dave, Byron and myself.
I will. Thank you so much.
We'd love that. And thank you for sharing that to Amanda.
Thank you,
I think it's hard for parents to open up about this.
Really brave cause. And the party's taking shape. Like, there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes. It's only a day in. But this is actually going to be the best day.
Yeah.
We're just, we can't confirm exactly, but we're working real hard on this. It's going to be fantastic. So thanks for all those calls. And we'll come back a little later and touch more on this. It's the birthday party for Logan's 7th birthday.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I think Kim Kardashian's daughter, Northwest, might might have realised she's been born into the wrong family because she's struggling, rightly so, with paparazzi. And it's interesting because you have a famous couple like Kim and North, Kim and Kanye, who have, courted it for whatever reasons, and that's it, that's their fames based on that. But then you look at children, and children, we all agree, and we're all in the media, should be a no-go zone. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. So you've got Northwest is most recently, 2 days ago, cracked it at the Paps. This is her cracking it.
Oh, sorry, Noid.
Sorry,
Noid.
Thank you, Kim.
I feel
no
she's a bit more Kanye than Kimmy. I feel like.
I just like the Paps going, sorry, North. Sorry, North. Thank you, Kim.
Well, Beyonce should have won Video of the Year.
My daughter's taking it a step further. She's not a big fan of me taking photos of her, and it's happening in our house. So, and you might have noticed on Instagram on Mother's Day, I uploaded a photo of her that she put on a card. Yeah, but Fev, I even looked and went, how on earth did her nanny Kerri-Anne get that photo? Because I kid you not, I will pull out a camera in our lounge room and this is what I deal with on a daily basis.
No photos.
I'm not doing a photo.
No photo.
I'm not doing a photo.
You are so.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
You are.
Sorry, Trixie. Sorry, Fiona. Paps are going off.
Mate, I'm her mum.
Yes, but in her defence, and I have known, now we've worked together most of Trixie's life.
Yes.
You've got that many photos in your phone of her. It's like a flick chart of her revolution. You will show me photos, mate. She'll be like, hey, yesterday she was on the couch. And you can just flick it from the kitchen to the couch. All of her movements.
And knowing Trixie, because she calls in most mornings, yes, a couple times a week. She's starting to get some coin for these photos. She doesn't want mum taking photos and cashing in when she can cash in.
Yeah, that's a good point, mate. Stop muscling in on her turf.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
This story's gone viral. It's everywhere at the moment. And if everyone doesn't know the background, Mark Murphy had been sledged by some St Kilda players. Jake Carlisle got knocked out by a knee. He ran past him, abused him on the ground. Then it started an all-in brawl. Now, sledging's been going on for 100 years, Dave. We all know that. You play local basketball, you play down at MSAC, I'm pretty sure you sledge each other. That's what happens when you're on the field.
Well, there's a lot of form there to be sledged, to be honest. The way that we play deserves a spray.
And the problem is, when you see a melee on a footy ground, we're not grabbing each other and going, oh, you're the best football player ever, grabbing their puncher and jumping them in the face. Oh, you're so good. You're amazing. I wish I was like you. I wish I played for St Kilda. Yeah, and you're pushing each other.
These aren't tackles, they're trust exercises. Yeah, come on, guys.
What do you think people say on the ground? They have a crack at each other. You get personal because you want to get under that person's skin. And Mark Murphy is one of Carlton's best players. So therefore, they would have been told to go out and get under his skin because he was dominating for the first three quarters or the first two half. He was playing really well.
Mm.
So you go, right, how am I going to get under this bloke's skin? You start verbally barraging him.
Mm.
And that's what you do because you think if they can crack, I'll keep going. But the real, I used to get sledged a hell of a lot because I was having a shot for goal. So that was my bread and butter. I have had so many things said to me that's just below, you shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But you're on the footy field. Who cares? Once you get off the field, you shake the person's hand, you go, yeah, I remember that. But then you just don't worry about it. I've had people in the crowd spit on me. There's a footage of a supporter spitting on me while standing behind the goals. My wife and my mum and my dad and my kids used to cop it from people in the crowd and they'd yell out stuff and they can hear that. But that's footy. That's what you're on. You're playing a competitive game for 2 hours. Things get said. And the reason why this has got air and oxygen is because of the media. If the media hadn't said a word about it, it'd be over. We wouldn't be talking about it now. They have given this oxygen and try to dig. And they want to write stories and they carry on. At the end of the day, I'm tipping St Kilda and Murph wouldn't want this to go anywhere. And they've talked about links with Wayne Carey and all that crap. And none of that stuff was said. It was something totally different. So to bring him into it is not fair on him. But the bottom line is, now that it's been made public by the media, it's not Murph that's going to worry about it because he's tough and he's ugly enough and strong enough to go out and he'll play and he'll still play well. It's his poor wife, Jess, her family, mum and dad, her brother and sister, her grandparents are going to deal with this because the media have put it in the paper. and they've written about it. It's all over Twitter, and people are going, what's been said, harden up. But it's not Murph. It's not anyone. It's the actual media, and that's us, and we're talking about it now, that have given this oxygen. It's been going on for 100 years.
It's interesting you talking about though, Fev, because you're a player. You're a former player. You're still playing. It's interesting to hear from your perspective that you see it as part of the game.
It is part of the game.
And out of interest, because having never played a team sport and been sledged, has it ever thrown you? Like when you say that's what you're told, the coach goes, go and get under their skin. Have you had someone get under your skin?
No. I'm big enough and ugly enough and I've got a pretty big chin so I can cop it.
Have you gotten under someone's skin? I'm not asking you to go into specifics.
You say something to someone and they blow up a little bit, but then it's done. Like you saw that they had that big blue at three-quarter time.
Yeah.
Then the next quarter, there was no huff and buff. There was nothing. So they went on and played the game. It's just that was that one incident, and there's fights all the time on the ground. And obviously, the AFL don't want the malaise, but they happen. You're playing a physical sport every week for 2.5 hours. We're not going to run around and go, ooh, that's good. You look amazing, Dave. I love your hair here. You can run past me and kick it. Hey, good goal. Yay. Well, you don't do that. That's
well,
not
to
part
be honest,
of it.
I let the producer listen because that's what I expect after every break. But. Honestly, in AFL level, any other level of football, has there ever been a time you're like, I'm not shaking that guy's hand? What just got said there is not, I'm not happy with, and I don't want to see him again.
No, I never have. I've always shaken everyone's hand and I always shake the opponent's hand at the start of the game. And I think the one thing that probably Murph will take out of that being the captain, he probably regrets not shaking people's hand. And I know Lee Montagna, who's a senior player, went up and found him out and sourced him out and shook his hand. And I know probably Murph would regret that because I know Murph really well. And he's really quiet kid, very humble, goes about his business. He's a club captain. So for him to react like, well, he didn't even really react. He just went bang. And then the Saints boys, as you do, you go in and fly the flag for your mate that was on the ground. And they started a little brawl and Murph copped it a little bit. They got on top of him and then it was over. But then he probably regret not shaking their hand, but that's something that he'll rectify, and probably the next game he'll go up and shake everyone's hand.
But it's interesting what you said because you're saying now we're all the media have made this an issue, so everybody's responding 100%. To the media's concern. Is anyone actually listening to the players and the clubs and how they feel? And now they're probably towing the line of the media.
Yes, well, it's more communal, and I think Brad Scott said it on 360 last night. You have to bow to the media because they got the power to write a story. So the players, they'll go in, they won't even talk about this now, it's done. But the media will keep it running and running, and we weren't going to play this clip, but this is what the coach of St Kilda said last night, and I'll pick up on a word where he goes, it's just banter.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that that were said, a couple of comments, a bit of banter between the two groups. But, yeah, no, we don't hide from the fact that we didn't quite get that right, and we need to be better. We want our footy to do our talking.
And those last words, we didn't get that quite right, is what he would have been told by the club to say to make everybody happy.
Right, okay.
And the captain, Jared Geary, St Kilda captain, come out and admitted some of his players may have taken the sledging too far. That's them saying, get stuffed. Wow. We'll just agree with that, but then we'll go on and play. It's still going
to
happen.
Do
it happens in cricket.
I'd love to see, moving forward, I would love to see a footballer just walk off the field. What you said was out of line and just storm off.
Yeah, but
leave early?
Yeah.
No, I'm not
recording. You hurt the feelings.
But at the end of the day, sledging's going to happen. The media just need to take a backward step because it's a football game, for God's sake. If the boys don't play football and play physical, you're going to ride up and say they're weak and they don't do this. That's what people go to the footy and love. That's why people get so passionate, because the players are out there putting their bodies on the line and you want to get under the people's skin.
You heard it here. Fev said, sledging's part of the game.
Well, hang on a second. Fev also, sledge the media. Oh, it keeps going.
That was good. Well, I am part of the media.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Big news that broke yesterday. Sam Wood from The Bachelor and Shana's Nana are having a baby.
Good on him.
How exciting was that?
Amazing.
Do you remember? I remember when we all watched that series and went, well, he's clearly going to pick Shanez. They look like they're meant for each other. So the gorgeous couple, they actually announced their pregnancy with this little video, which was very cute.
Give me that. Shanez can't do up her pants, A, because she's just eating a bowl of pasta as big as her head. B, because she really needs to fart. And mate, she's going to be able to. C, we're having a baby. or D, all of the above?
That's cute. No, that is great stuff.
The first bachelor baby in Australia.
Oh, it is the first bachelor baby. I mean, we have the technology, as you know, Fev, and Fief definitely knows about it, where we can do all sorts of things. We can talk to Fifi's brain directly without actually even needing to speak to you, just the inner thoughts. We've spoken to Fev's stomach, which is
fake.
Incredible.
It's not
and
my brain.
Here's an exclusive. We have the bachelor baby right here on the line.
Connecting to the bachelor's unborn child. Connected. You can now hear the bachelor's unborn child.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Wow, I love this. I've already had a video go viral and I got an interview on the radio. I'm not even born yet. My Q scores are going through the roof.
Oh, bachelor baby. Hey. I mean, congratulations, your parents. They're a great couple. And look, I mean, let's be honest, a very attractive looking pair.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, I thought I felt pretty attractive. But then again, the only other thing I've ever seen is a placenta. So anything looks good next to that. So, yeah.
Are you looking forward to meeting your parents, Sam and Schnez?
Gesundheit?
Sorry?
Did you just sneeze?
No. That's your mum's name, Snezana.
Oh, right. Jeez, what a mouthful. And what's my dad's name?
Well, his name's Sam. Sam Wood.
Sam Wood? Oh, let's be honest. Sam obviously would, so he did, and now I'm here. That's the baby I'm fighting. Admittedly, I don't know who else is in that studio, but calm down, Chief. Admittedly, I am a little bit worried, though.
Why's that?
I'm not looking forward to the maternity ward, you know what I mean? I turn up, what if my dad has better rapport with another baby? Then I'm on the out, aren't I? Jeez!
Oh, look, bachelor baby, your father, I mean, your daddy's going to love you unconditionally. There's no way he'll ever think of being a father to another baby.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. And I mean, even if it doesn't work out, I could probably get a gig on a regional radio station, so things will be looking pretty good.
So I guess, I mean, the big question we don't know is, when are you due?
Oh, I've got no idea, to be honest. All I know is when it's time, Osher will probably offer me a rose and then, I'm free to leave.
All right, thank you so much. That's the unborn child of Sam and Snez.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron took a call from Bev from Melton.
I have a 6-year-old son. His name's Logan. He has spina bifida. Had birthday parties where we've invited classes and kinders and no one's come along.
For his next birthday, Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron are putting on a party for him.
Let's put on a party for kids that do get left out.
Logan's 7th birthday party. You got a friend
in me. Logan's birthday party last year, no one turned up and none of his friends, well, he's got one friend at the moment at school, and we thought this isn't good enough. We are a community. We look after our kids and everybody, they're all our kids and they all need to be looked after. And the idea that there are kids out there that are being left out, they're not getting invitations, they don't have friends to play with, is not right. And we're turning this around. So we're putting on this big birthday party for Logan and we're inviting all kids out there who don't have friends, who are being left off, who don't make it to other kids' parties in the class. And parents listening right now, and you know who you are because you bottle up that pain and you try not to think about it. But we want you to call us and tell us what it's like, what you're living through. And we want you to bring your child to this big birthday party with us. Amanda's giving us a call. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi, Amanda. Now, tell us about, you've got a little boy, Jet, is it?
That's correct, yep.
Tell us what's going on with Jet.
He's autistic and he's nonverbal and he's never been invited to a party and he's never had a party. He's nonverbal, but he loves to sing happy birthday.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's upsetting.
Of course it is, Amanda, and you're being strong, and as his mum and as parents, that's what happens. You're being tough and you're being strong for Jet, but of course your heart breaks because it's one of those things in life. You want to see your kids playing with other kids and being accepted. And we don't think it's good enough that Jet's not being accepted, Amanda, and that he doesn't have his friends and he's not going to parties. So we want, more than anything, for Jet to come to this party for Logan. Will you bring him
That'll
along?
That'll be fantastic. I definitely will.
We'd love
it.
You
so
tell
much.
Him personally that Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron, we personally inviting him. We want him there. We can't wait to give him a big hug and play games and muck around with him. Wait till you hear what's happening at this party, okay, Amanda?
Thank you so much.
This is going to be great.
That.
And thank you. All the parents and a lot have reached out to us on Facebook as well. The party's taking shape and the amount of offers, and we'll get to these tomorrow, from the community of people who are just wanting to help, people who aren't as directly affected as Amanda, but they just want to be involved because it's such a great idea. So thank you for all the help, and we'll get to some of those tomorrow on the
and
show.
And I know how excited all the parents and kids are getting. But this big man over
There'll
here.
There'll be one big boy at the party.
I am super stoked. I can't wait, Dave.
He planned Trixie's birthday party, and that was a great party.
It was.
So you're a big unit, so when you get on the jumping castle, just clear everyone out of the way, have fun, get it all out.
Let the adult go first.
You can't call in to win prizes during Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-ups. But now this one's over, you can head to theweeklyreview.com.au and enter to win their golden ticket, valued at over $10,000.